Good morning, and welcome. And it's clear everybody knows where they are, but in case you don't, all you have to do is look around, and it's everywhere, the Blue Zone Project press conference, and we're pleased that you could be here. So over the next 30 minutes or so, we want to talk a lot about the healthy estate and Blue Zone and what's in store for Iowa and Iowa communities. And what I'm going to do first is just run through who the speakers will be. And first, we'll have Governor Branstad. And the governor's going to talk about his vision and the Healthiest State Initiative. And fortunately or unfortunately, the governor has a hard stop at 10:45. And I say unfortunately because if it goes longer, he won't be here. But fortunately, because it's for a national news event to talk about this initiative. After the governor, I'm going to spend a few minutes about why Wellmark is investing in this initiative. Then Ben Liddle, who is the head of Healthways, will talk about well-being and the role of Healthways. I've got to get my turns right here. I mean, I thought there was structure. But you don't need total structure for Blue Zones. After that, Dan Buettner, I know where Dan is, who's an author who has written Blue Zones and Thrive, is going to talk about Blue Zones and how we can incorporate those in Iowa communities. And then Laura Jackson, who's our Vice President for Health and Care Strategy and Policy, is going to talk about what our selection process is going to be as it relates to the 10 communities that we will select over the next several years, and also tools that are going to be available to all communities. And finally, Lieutenant Governor Reynolds is going to give some closing remarks. So, Governor Branstad.
Thank you very much, John Forsyth, and I want to first of all, welcome all of you to this special news conference this morning. And I want to thank Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield for hosting us in your beautiful facilities here. We're excited to be part of this project. It is really a truly public-private partnership. Last month, I spoke to you about the Healthy Estate Initiative, and I'm pleased to say that Iowans are excited and ready to be part of this. Everyone here has received very passionate and positive feedback about the importance of making Iowa the healthiest state in the nation. I get unsolicited letters from people who say, how can I be a part of this project? I got a letter just yesterday from a healthcare professional who sent me her resume and said how she wanted to make a real difference in this. I had an opportunity to visit with a doctor from Burlington today who's told me about the things they're already doing in Burlington along this line. And so it's just really exciting to hear the opportunity and the interest there is. When I met with John Forsyth from Wellmark and Rick Juergens from Hy-Vee and Doug Reichart from the Iowa Sports Foundation about wellness, it was very clear that we had a goal to make Iowa the healthiest state. And they've been talking about this, and we've been talking about this for a long time, and now I think we've really got a well-thought-out strategy to achieve this very ambitious goal. Since that meeting, they've worked together with many other stakeholders and have never hesitated or wavered from meeting this challenge of making Iowa the healthiest state. Today, we're here to announce one of the most important items of that, the centerpiece initiative called the Blue Zones Project. Now, you may be aware that Albert Lea, Minnesota, which is only 20 miles north of Lake Mills, Iowa, they have already been successful in a Blue Zone project. I happen to have a 90-year-old uncle that lives in Albert Lea, Carl Branstad. So I have a little interest and maybe a little insight into what they've done in Albert Lea. When I asked John Forsyth what it would take to make Iowa the healthiest state, he told me it would be a big job, but one that could be accomplished if we did two things. First, we need to get every Iowan to take ownership in their own health and to get involved. And secondly, focus not just on health care, but on all the other things in our environment that contribute to health and well-being. That is the essence of the Blue Zone Project. Blue Zone Project is a 5-year community by community, business by business, person-by-person movement to help Iowans make simple, incremental changes to change their environment. In my previous job at Des Moines University, I learned about the importance of evidence-based practice in healthcare and policy making. By adopting evidence-based principles of Dan Buettner's groundbreaking work, which you will hear about in a few minutes, we can encourage all Iowans to make the healthy choice, the right choice, the best choice. With Iowans taking ownership of their own health and making better choices every day, we'll not only live longer, but we'll live better. The success of this initiative will also lead to a healthier Iowa and make our state more competitive economically in creating jobs. This is something I think can be a great asset to us as we work, the Lieutenant Governor and I, to market Iowa to businesses as a good place to locate, because healthcare is one of the biggest costs that businesses have today. But if we can show that we're on the path to be the healthiest state in the nation, that's going to be a great marketing tool. In correcting the course of well-being in Iowa, we're going to be using the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index as the North Star guidepost for our initiative. The Gallup Healthways will give us unmatched data through unprecedented measurement of specific challenges that Iowa communities are facing and their improvement through the course of this five-year initiative. So we'll have objective data that we can measure the progress that we're making. I want every Iowa community to aspire to be a Blue Zone community. And while we're looking for a few communities to pilot this approach, we want everyone to be successful. I'm pleased that we're announcing the Blue Zone Project this morning, and I'd like to again ask John Forsythe to come up and tell us more about Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield's initiative. And I want you to know I personally chose this tie because it is very much Wellmark's colors. So I wanted to show you we're on the team, John.
Thank you, Governor. We appreciate your leadership and choice of ties. Last month, we shared with many of you the epidemic that we're facing as a state and a country as it relates to our lifestyles. The resulting morbidity and negative financial impacts stand in the way of our health, happiness, and economic vitality as families, employers, and communities. The good news is when you start to look at this and you look at people's health status, only 24% of it is genetics. So what it means is 80% of our health status is in our control. And when you take a step back, that's really powerful. And in fact, that's what Blue Zones are all about. Let's take control of our health status. Now, as a health insurer, clearly we have a self-interest in this because we see firsthand every day the financial impact of our lifestyle choices. The facts are that most chronic diseases and more than 20 cancers are linked to lifestyles. But there's also good news. Since those are linked to our lifestyles, if we change our lifestyles, we can really impact chronic disease in Iowa and eventually across the country. Now, improving the underlying health status of Iowans is simple in one respect and very complex in another. And we're really interested as an insurer to help people because we set a stretch goal a number of years ago to get our average rate increase to the Consumer Price Index by 2014. And as we started to look at doing that, there are many things we're doing in conjunction with hospitals and physicians and other providers in the state. But it was pretty clear that unless we did something around the underlying health status of Iowans, that there was no way we could have on a sustainable basis our average rate increase to be the CPI by 2014. So that led us to the initiative to say, how is an underpinning to what we want to do on the rate side? And as the governor said, we already have the second lowest health care rates in the country because we have such great providers in the state of Iowa. But our rate of increase is the same as across the country. So how can we dramatically change the rate of increase? And that, again, is all about how do we change the underlying health status of Iowans. So how can we do this? So we looked and we said, we need to do extensive research, and we actually looked all around the world. We were on conference calls with people from England and Germany and all across the world in terms of what initiatives had taken place. And we, in that research, we found that there was really one comprehensive way that we thought we could approach that, and that's the blue zones. And that's what we're here talking about today, and something that Dan will spend a considerable amount of time talking about. We also would have never come up with this if it weren't for Ben Liddle. We have a relationship with Healthways. It's a longstanding partnership with Healthways. And when we're talking to Ben, he always has creative ideas, very good ways of how do you transform the health system, how do you transform care in the country. And as we talked to Ben, he said, boy, we have this relationship related to Blue Zones and Dan Buettner, and it's very, very special. And as we investigated that, we said, this is the way that we can transform Iowa. So, Ben, we appreciate that, and I would turn to you for some remarks.
Good morning, and thank you, John. Some of you here may or may not know who Healthways is. Our purpose is to create a healthier world and to do that one person at a time. And currently, we're helping support people making healthy decisions, 40 million people here in the U.S., abroad, in Western Europe, in South America, and Australia, trying to help do the things that John just described. At Healthways, we've adopted the World Health Organization's definition of health because we think that makes a big difference in terms of how you go about trying to improve health. And their definition is that health is not just simply the lack of disease or infirmity, but rather the complete presence of physical, social, and emotional well-being. So if you're wondering how we got to well-being, it went back to the roots of defining health and doing that in the most holistic sense. In 2008, Healthways and Gallup created a 25-year partnership to measure and understand well-being around the world, and we did that by creating the Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index. We now know what well-being really is, and we know where it lives. And in fact, we know right here in Iowa what well-being looks like. The latest Gallup Healthways Well-Being Index findings show Iowa ranked 19th among states. It also shows significant opportunity that Iowa has a chance to improve, particularly in the area of its citizens' healthy behaviors and in the businesses' work environments that are here in Iowa. The good news is that we know that well-being can be improved, and that a sustained increase of only 1% increase in the citizens of Iowa's well-being translates to about 2% reduction in emergency room and hospital utilization, and maybe even more importantly, total health care costs of about a 1% decline for every 1% sustained increase in a population. And then beyond that, obviously, an even greater economic impact from improved workforce productivity that translates into overall business performance for the businesses that are here in Iowa. Now, as John mentioned, approximately 80% of the healthcare costs are rooted in our lifestyle choices and our environments, where we live and work and play. And therefore, as he pointed out, they're modifiable. It's clear that we as individuals and we as communities and do something about this, and we can take charge. We know how to harness the power of communities to create lasting change. In 2010, we joined forces with Dan Buettner and the Blue Zone team in order to better provide the resources necessary for communities and its respective citizens to change their environments. Blue Zones is a scientifically proven model for making semi-permanent and permanent changes that lead to healthier, more productive people, and more productive businesses, and more vital communities. We've begun to show that improving well-being affords incredible progress toward driving broader economic vitality. So it is an honor to be asked to support the governor, our partners at Wellmark, and the other business leaders here in Iowa, as well as each and every citizen in Iowa, through the Healthiest State Initiative. And this is a unique opportunity for Iowa to secure what I believe is its future economic sustainability. Iowa can lead the nation in creating a place where citizens are of highest well-being, where leaders will choose to start or relocate or simply grow the businesses that are already here, where schools and universities will create the brightest next generation leaders that stay in Iowa because the best jobs are here and because they can't imagine a better place to live. So on behalf of all the colleagues at Healthways and our partner Dan Buettner, we look forward to supporting your success through the Blue Zones project here in Iowa, and thank you for your attention this morning. Here's Dan.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, John, and thank you, Governor Branstad, for putting your considerable economic clout and political clout behind this idea. It's a big day. It's a big day because I think this represents a change in the way not only Iowa but the rest of America looks at health care. For the past 10 years, while John and Ben were building great organizations, I was traveling the world for National Geographic on assignment, researching pockets where people live measurably longer and pockets where people have measurably higher well-being. And these are populations of between 14,000 and 400,000 people, where people are living up to 12 years longer than we do on average, eight times as many centenarians, and have a fraction of the rate of heart disease and cancer. And instead of going into universities and plumbing research, we looked at populations that have been doing the same things for centuries or even millennia and have the data behind them. And no matter where you go in the world, you see the same nine things happening over and over and over again that seem to explain this longevity and well-being. No matter if you go to Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, or Costa Rica, Nicoya Peninsula, the same nine things. Predictably, some of them are things we've heard about before: eating a plant-based diet, regular physical activity. But some of them aren't so intuitive. We found populations who were able to wake up in the morning and articulate their sense of purpose. Those populations lived about 7 years longer than populations that couldn't articulate their sense of purpose. People who have at least three good friends that support healthy behavior have about a third the rate of mortality than people who are alone in life. You haven't heard about these things because there's no profit in marketing them, so they're less ubiquitous in the media. I was given a second grant about 8 years ago to look at parts of the world where people have undertaken public health initiatives or community health initiatives that have actually sustained success. And I found out two remarkable things traveling the world on this assignment. Number one is it's never been successfully done in America. We've spent tens of millions of dollars on heart healthy programs, one in Minneapolis, where I come from, another one in Stanford, California, another one in Vermont. They are right-minded ideas. But the problem was, as long as the cameras were rolling and the professors were paying attention, people made the dietary changes or the exercise changes. But as soon as the experts left and the cameras left, people reverted right back to what they were doing before. We did, however, find three places around the world where populations were able to reverse unhealthy conditions and sustain it for decades. One in northern France, one in Finland, and one, oddly enough, in Iran. One of these places actually was able to lower the rate of cardiovascular disease, a disease that costs our country over $500 billion a year. They were able to reduce it by 90% and maintain that reduction for over a decade. The secret to their success was implementing long-term changes to the environment. What do I mean by that? I'm going to use a simple analogy. There's this sort of famous high school experiment where if you throw a frog in really hot water, the frog jumps out. But if you throw a frog in lukewarm water and raise the temperature 1 degree at a time, that frog will become complacent, and eventually you can boil that frog, and it'll die. The problem when it comes to health care, when it comes to preventative health, it's not really the frog. Of course, there is individual responsibility, but the frog is just doing what its biology tells it to do. The problem is the water. We live now in environments of ease and excess. You cannot go to a video rental store. You can't go to the pharmacy. You can't go to the gas station without being routed through a gauntlet of salty, sweet foods. Our discipline can only work for so long. Eventually, that discipline muscle wears out and we give in to an environment of ease. How many of you, when you were in school, walked to school? Raise your hand. Around you. Most hands are up. Now, how many of you have children who walk to school? Three hands going up. In 1970, about 50% of American children walk to school. Today, about 13% of people walk to school. So one of the policy changes we put to work in Albert Lea to change the environment in a permanent way, instead of every kid taking a bus to school, we created these walking school buses. Wellmark here created this kind of interesting idea, a bad zone and a blue zone. And if you look over here in the bad zone, you see school buses. You look over in the blue zone, you see one of our walking Moais in Albert Lea. We were able to engineer 3.5 miles of walking into the average kid's week, and what it cost, absolutely nothing. We made sure kids' safety were paid attention to. If you look at that poster on the far left there, the last one, you see a typical street in a project we're doing in Los Angeles, California. On the other side of the room, same place, you see a poster of an envisioned transformation of that very same street, a street that favors not cars but pedestrians and walkers. And it turns out, research done at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation found that if you can just optimize the built environment, if you can make streets safe for people to walk on, there's an option to bicycle. Parks are cleaned up and there is an environment of safety. You can raise the physical activity level of that population by 30 to 40%. No gym memberships, no yoga classes, no expensive interventions, just making the active option the easy options. Over the next 5 years, we have 108 evidence-based ways to change the environment here in Iowa. By just 2 or 3%, each one just nudges people into a little bit better eating, a little bit more physical activity, a little bit more socialization. The same 9 principles we found in the blue zone, but without really making people remember it every day. They make a community-wide commitment up front. Our team comes in and helps them make the changes. We make sure that every change we ask them to make is evidence-based, and then we get out of the way. In Albert Lea, Minnesota, we were able to raise the life expectancy of the average person by 3.2 years. We were able to lower health care costs by 40%. And the surrounding businesses experienced a rise in productivity and a drop in absenteeism. Those processes and interventions are still in place 3 years later, and we're no longer there. So our mission here in Iowa over the next 3 years, teaming with Wellmark and Healthways and the leaders, quite frankly, of cities that are ready to change, is to focus on the environment for permanent and semi-permanent ways, and work on these communities one community at a time for the type of changes that we saw in blue zones around the world.
Okay, so as Governor Branstad said at the beginning, a couple of points to just clarify for everybody. We've had many communities reach out to us and say, how can I become a blue zone? You know, what's the process? When are you going to tell us the timeline? So the first most important thing is this is for all Iowans. So this is not respective to anyone who happens to have Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance. We really care about all Iowans, and so I want to make that very clear. The second thing that I think is really important is we do absolutely want all Iowa communities, when they're ready, to raise their hand and start to make sustainable changes. So we really want everyone to become a blue zone. But the question is, how do you ignite the movement across the state? And the way we thought was most appropriate to do that is to let communities select themselves through their demonstrated passion and interest through an application process. So what we plan to do, and it's starting today, there is a website called bluezonesproject.com where every Iowa citizen can go and pledge to be a part of this. But in particular, we want to ignite about 10 communities to really apply to receive help from the likes of a Dan Buettner, as well as a team of folks that stand behind him with these evidence-based interventions that he talked about. And when you think about bringing those things to life and supplying those kind of resources to a community, we really feel like we can create what I'll call demonstration sites across the state, so that those communities hold up examples and can share learnings with other people around the state. So it really is a way to create a tipping point, if you will. So for those of you that really wanted to help us market this, I'm going to talk a little bit about the timeline that we are going to use for this two-step process. So as you think about kind of an application process, the first thing we are going to do is create what's called a statement of interest. And really all that is a very simple application on the website. Any community citizen can actually send in the statement of interest. So it does not have to be a government leader. It can be a school teacher. It can be, you know, the local business person. It can be anyone in a community that says, I think my community is ready. There's several questions there that will help people understand what you have to do to inventory, whether or not you can rally your community to demonstrate the passion, the interest, and the experience. And then once that statement of interest is actually submitted, we will have on September 27th, an informational webinar in which any Iowan can dial into to learn more about the process, the way in which we'll go through the evaluation process. We'll eventually do on-site visits into communities that actually make it through the process of the application. And when we hit October 10th, we are also going to do a series of roadshows across the state. We're going to select four areas across the state, try to reach the population, if you will, and we will have informational sessions in which we have the experts there, and we will talk to anyone and everyone who is interested in walking through this process and learning more about the Blue Zones Project. So we really want to get the word out so that those roadshows are well attended, and as we select cities for those roadshows, we don't want the citizens of that community to feel like it's only for them. We want surrounding communities to attend, so we really do want to create this energy and excitement around learning more about how to go do this. And then on October 28th, we will kind of close the initial process for the statements of interest to be in. And we'll go through an evaluation period to then invite communities to go through the longer application process. It's a little more intensive, and that's when we will look for demonstrated experience and ability to rally their community. Examples like, were they able to convene a community of people to walk in the Start Somewhere walk? There are other examples. Have you been able to get volunteers together to really transform things in your community? It doesn't have to be Blue Zone-like, but it needs to be a demonstrated interest that your community can come together. And then through that process, once we get down to a smaller selection of communities, we will then go through and close down the application process on January 4th. And sometime in the early spring after site visits, we'll announce the first of the 10 total Blue Zone communities that have been selected to receive the expert resources that we just talked about. So we will do three waves of this process that I just described over the next 5 years, with the intent that over this period of time, 10 total communities will receive the expert help to come in, evaluate their community, create a blueprint that they can deploy. And as Dan said in Albert Lea, like they did there, you create the blueprint and you let the leadership take it, and then you get out of the way. So we really think that this is an important way to ignite this. And then I also want to reiterate, for all Iowans, we are going to have multiple tools available for any Iowan who is interested in making changes. So on the BlueZonesProject.com and the IowaHealthiestState.com, there's tools for all Iowans. So if you want to learn how to Blue Zones your home, which is something I've already done, so I'm making the healthy choice the easiest choice for my family, any Iowan can do that. It's very simple. You download it. You kind of walk through your house and figure out how to do this. So those tools will be available. In addition to that, we are co-creating with HealthWays and some other local leaders a Blue Zones Institute. So if, for example, you're in a community that is not chosen to receive this expert help, you actually can send leadership, you yourself can come, and learn how to go create your own blueprint and take it back to your community. So we really want to blanket the state with lots of tools, lots of support, so that truly every Iowa community that wants to be a Blue Zone can actually make that happen. So I encourage you to go out to the BlueZonesProject.com website and learn more about it. This entire timeline that I've articulated is there. And so obviously, if you have questions, there's a whole host of folks behind the scenes ready to answer those questions. And with that, I'll turn it to the Lieutenant Governor for closing remarks.
Thanks, Laura. As you can see, it will take everyone in the community to create Blue Zones, including employers, restaurants, healthcare professionals, and government. We have a number of guests here today who represent these statewide and nationwide groups. These folks have been active in the development of the Healthiest State Initiative, and I would encourage you, if you have time at the end of this press conference, to take the opportunity to visit with them. Please wave your name as I indicate you or call your name out so everyone can see who you are. We have with us today Jessica Dunker, who is with the Iowa Restaurant Association. And the association is announcing their Dine Well program today to show their support for the Healthiest State, for the Blue Zone Project. We also have Linda Dedeker with Hickory Park Farms. We have, pardon? Oh, restaurant. I'm sorry. That's important to note that. We have Jerry Flagel with the Iowa grocery industry. We have Scott McIntyre with the Iowa Hospital Association. We have Mike Abrams with the Iowa Medical Society. We have Dr. Mike Abba-Osley. Dr. Mike is from Burlington, and as his patients refer to him, and he is the 2010 Family Physician of the Year and the architect of the unique program to put the Power 9 to work in his community. Dr. Carolyn Banke-Becker, teaching pastor at Lutheran Church of Hope in West Des Moines, and Carolyn created a class that examines the Power of 9 from a spiritual perspective. We have Katie Bale with the Gallup Organization, Elliot Smith, who's the Executive Director of the Iowa Business Council, and we have Rose Mitchell and Helen Eddy with Hive B, and we have Dr. Miller Meeks with Iowa Public Health. Each of these individuals and groups provide great insights into making our communities healthier and happier, and in most cases are actively working on creating environmental changes throughout the state. Again, I would encourage you to speak with them about the work that they are doing. This entire initiative comes down to the work of everyday Iowans across this great state. I want to renew the governor's call for every Iowan to be involved in this effort. Our efforts are not about politics, but they are about people. Our efforts are focused on the health of Iowans, our well-being, and our future. Leaders should encourage their communities to apply for the program, and individuals can show their support by signing up online at iowahealthiestate.com or even sending a text message to the number that's in your press kit. I would also like to remind you about the Start Somewhere Walk that is scheduled for noon on Friday, October 7th, and I would like to issue a challenge to all Iowans to participate in the walk. Let's set a world record for the largest 1 kilometer walk. We need 250,000 people to make it happen. That's about 1 in 12 Iowans, and it's a tall order, but I think that Iowans are up to the challenge, so I encourage you all to grab family and friends and neighbors and have them participate in the walk. So thank you again for coming this morning, and we look forward to your help as we turn every Iowa community into its own blue zone, and we make our great state into the healthiest state of the nation. So thank you so much for being here and participating.
So we do have some time if people have questions for any of our speakers or our experts in the blue zone area.
Yes. Well, first of all, this is a private initiative, publicly endorsed. And we are not trying to tell people what we are trying. Well, first of all, we are not trying to pass a bunch of restrictive laws. But what we are trying to do is demonstrate the opportunities to live a healthier lifestyle, something that's better for people themselves. And that's what I really like about this initiative. You've seen some other places that have tried to ban certain foods or things like that. That's not the approach that this is taking. This is really working with communities, and the communities working with the businesses, with the private sector, as well as with the nonprofits and the community leaders, all working together. So I think this is something that will find a universal interest and support, regardless of one's particular political perspective. So I think it's a very exciting thing, and we're proud to endorse and support it. We are not advocating any specific changes in the law, but what we're trying to do is change people's habits so that people make the right choices and recognize that, you know, sometimes people are going to make a bad choice. And, you know, I'm one of those people that loves sweets, and that's not an easy thing to pass them by all the time, but we need to encourage people to, and once in a while, people are going to make a choice that maybe isn't the healthiest choice, but we hope that people make healthy choices much more often. And this is a very incremental process, but I think it's a very good process, and that's why I think that we find the tremendous broad-based bipartisan interest and support for this approach.
The life expectancy raise was done with a tool created by the University of Minnesota called the Vitality Compass. It was self-reported, and the healthcare costs were reported by the city of Albert Lea themselves to Blue Cross Blue Shield. And if you want afterward, I can provide some documentation there. Just to follow up on the question about nanny state, we don't come imposing anything. What we bring is a 108 evidence-based interventions. Some of them are policies that have worked elsewhere at lowering obesity rates or lowering rates of cardiovascular disease. The first cities we're going to work in are cities who invite us in. We are going to present this portfolio of interventions. They ultimately are going to pick the ones that are right for them. We will support the ones that they pick, but nobody up on stage here is coming in and saying you have to do anything or imposing anything people themselves don't want to do.
Looks like Ingersoll Avenue, by the way. They've already done it on Ingersoll Avenue. Well, as of now, we don't have specific recommendations in terms of changes in law or funding or things like that. We do have a separate study that's going on looking at what the transportation needs are for cities, counties, and the state. And there is a Transportation 2020 initiative, and we're viewing what are the needs and then how is it appropriately to be financed, which I think should be on a pay-as-you-go basis, paid for by the users, basically. But that's a separate thing, and there's a group of citizens from all over the state that's been holding public hearings and getting input and ideas from citizens on that issue. And that certainly could play into the way that counties and cities could get funding for that. Also, the state has been very involved for a long time in trails. I was just talking, in fact, with Mike Glover before this started about the High Bridge Trail and what's that. And I have a log home up in Boone County, not too far from there. And of course, that's been a great thing for communities like Woodward and Madrid. And obviously, I think it's been a very good thing for the health of the people. And it's a beautiful site. But that's just one of many trails that we have all throughout the state of Iowa that have been developed over the last 20 or 30 years. That can be also an important part of this.
Again, we thank all of you for coming. We'll stand around for a while if people have individual questions they'd like to ask. Thanks again.